Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We are here on location this morning in Richmond, Virginia, in the historic old Virginia Supreme Court chambers of the newly named Patrick Henry Building, named after Virginia's first elected governor. Recognized as one of the best managed states in the country, the Commonwealth of Virginia continues to build on a centuries-old heritage of leadership, achievement, and commitment. There is little that the Commonwealth does not do well in terms of good government management. As a recognized leader in business, education, and quality of life, Virginia is marked by an attractive business environment, challenging and rewarding jobs reflective of a changing marketplace, and strong income growth throughout all regions of the Commonwealth. Today, we are honored to have as our guest the Honorable Timothy M. Kaine, Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, to discuss his administration's efforts around government performance, accountability, transparency, and citizen engagement. Good morning, Governor Kaine, and welcome to our program.
Albert, it's great to be with you today.
Thank you. Governor, we appreciate you taking time to share with our audience your leadership and management approaches to ensure the Commonwealth of Virginia's future and secure its past. As an executive in charge of approximately 120,000 employees with a biannual budget of $71 billion, you must be kept constantly on the go. Could you share with us what your past week has been like?
Yeah, I am constantly on the go, and I have to, gosh, what did I do last week? We had a very special day last week, Cabinet Community Day. Four times a year, I take the cabinet out on the road, and we go to a region of the state and begin with kind of an open cabinet meeting where the public is invited. During the day, we then all fan out. Each cabinet member works on matters that are kind of critical to their own agencies. And then at the end of the day, we all come back together for a reception. And we do this four times a year so that members of the public in all parts of the state kind of get to know us. We shouldn't just stay in the Capitol. But we also do it so we can learn things and bring them back. We see best practices wherever we go. We see a city and county that are in an innovative way, you know, combining their social services operations to serve citizens better. Then we bring those items back and try to replicate them here and encourage other parts of the state to think about them. So that was one of the major items of last week. We're also deeply involved in policy and budget matter preparation. The major budget that I will prepare as governor is one that I'll present to the legislature in December. We started working on it in March, and so we're deeply into that right now.
That's fantastic. Now, Governor, so beyond past week, this year is of particular importance to Virginia as it marks its 400th anniversary of the Jamestown settlement. In celebration of this anniversary, you had the pleasure of hosting Queen Elizabeth of England, as well as her husband, Prince Philip. Could you tell us more about this visit and how important is this celebration to the Commonwealth?
I think the celebration has been extremely important to the Commonwealth for a couple of reasons. One, you know, anniversaries give you a chance to kind of step back and look at the big picture. I mean, all of us can, you know, have the danger of getting sunk into our daily responsibilities and not stepping back and getting the perspective. And the anniversary has been very helpful for us to step back and look at how far the Commonwealth has come, to acknowledge that, you know, it's not all been rosy. There have been some very, very grim times here and trying to learn the lessons of success and failure. But then most importantly, to say, okay, what have been the key values that have enabled this Commonwealth to be successful for 400 years that we want to carry forward? So it gives you an opportunity to think about values. That's really important. It also has given us an opportunity from an economic development and a marketing standpoint to tell the Virginia story. The visits of Queen Elizabeth and then on the following weekend the President, you know, have a huge upside for us in tourism and other opportunities to tell the Virginia story and attract people and businesses to be interested in us. So it's been a real fun year so far, and there are going to continue to be, you know, 400th anniversary events throughout 2007, so, you know, much more in store.
That's fantastic. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your administration's adopted motto, Virginia Leading the Way? What inspired this motto, and what aspects of Virginia's tradition of excellence does this model highlight? And if I may, in what ways does it reflect your governance, your management, and your leadership style?
Well, we chose the motto at the beginning of the administration, I think probably somewhat because of we knew we would be commemorating the 400th anniversary, not just of Virginia, but of English-speaking civilization in the New World, of birthplace of key democratic institutions, elected legislature, freedom of religious worship, the equality principle. And so Virginia has been a leader for those 400 years. I just want to make sure that, you know, we continue to see ourselves that way. We don't want to think of our leadership successes as all in the past. We want to think of them going forward. So the notion that we should be at the front, we should be leading in the creation of new opportunities, new institutions, new ideas, is a powerful one. In terms of, you know, what it says about our management philosophy, you know, sometimes you hear about people, they will separate management and leadership. You know, management is doing things right and leadership is doing the right things. And management is critical. We valued Governing Magazine's accolade a couple years ago, we're the best managed state. But we also want to be leaders. And leadership is a little bit different. I think leadership is often a little bit measured more by kind of the effect that you have on the external world rather than just how you're managing your own little corner of the world. And so I want to make sure that, you know, we hold out before everybody in state government that we're really called to be leaders.
Now, you mentioned the accolades that you received by Governing Magazine. So how do you keep the level of intensity and leadership in the state after receiving such a prestigious award?
Well, it's a challenge. That's a daily challenge in a sizable organization. And any sizable organization faces, you know, what do you do to have a culture of continuous improvement, you know, responsiveness, excellence. And so, you know, we do it in a whole lot of different ways. The way it begins is putting good leadership in place. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time when I came in as governor in January of 06 trying to put great people in leadership positions in the agency head spots and the cabinet secretary and the governor's office. And by great leaders, I tend to think of two main criteria. Not ever having had a management course, my kind of fallback position is success is, you know, goals plus relationships. So I want people who know how to establish meaningful goals and then are willing to be held accountable and measured against those goals. And I also want people who know that to achieve goals, you got to collaborate. And that there are some things that a leader can do just by virtue of, hey, we're going to do this, and then it happens. But most things that you want to do really require relationships and collaboration. So trying to pick leaders who understand those two traits and can live them out, that is the most important thing I can do to try to keep pressure on for success and improvement.
That's great. Governor, as a citizen myself of Virginia, I can vouch that the Commonwealth has earned a strong reputation as a great place to live, great place to get an education, work, and raise a family. Yet, as with other states, the Commonwealth faces the challenge of how to sustain and improve.
Absolutely.
Could you tell us a little bit about the roadmap for Virginia's future and the vision for Virginia that you have?
Mm-hmm, certainly. It is hard to, you know, to maintain that accelerated pace. You know, in the last 50 years, from Queen Elizabeth's 1957 visit to Jamestown to 2007, Virginia has made a tremendous accelerated jump, really. We were at the bottom of the nation in percentage of our kids going to school. Now our public schools are recognized as some of the best in the nation. Our higher ed attendance rate was less than half the national average in 57. Now we're significantly above the national average. We were 36th in the nation in per capita income in 1957. We're 9th in the nation now. And in that, no state has made that as big a jump as Virginia has. So how do we keep it, you know, strong going forward? Our Council on Virginia's Future has worked with us to come up with this roadmap for success, really focusing on continuous effort to define long-term goals and then organize our effort around those goals. One danger we have in Virginia is that we have a one-term governor that can't succeed him or herself. So that's a four-year period. Our legislative terms are either 2 years in the House or 4 years in the Senate. And you can run into a danger of short-term thinking, of thinking that is only in 2 or 4 year increments, when to have sustained improvement, you've got to have a longer time horizon. So the roadmap is about trying to refine and set goals that really go out further than a governor's term or an election cycle, so that we can then orient the activities of state government around those longer-term goals.
That certainly is a very short time to get a lot accomplished.
It is. And, you know, you end up, no matter how much you know about government when you come in, and I was lieutenant governor, so I sat next to a great governor for 4 years. I didn't have a big learning curve. It's still, you know, you're just not you're not as sharp on your first day as you are once you get about a year and a half into the job. So that first year, you're kind of feeling your way. And then, frankly, the last year, often the legislature will say, well, you know, we're going to have another governor soon. So you start to find some tail off in your power at the end. And so that means that your window to really make a big difference shrinks a little bit from the 4 years to maybe, you know, 2.5 or 3. And you really got to push to get things done. But the roadmap helps in establishing longer-term goals, and also with the council bringing people to the table other than legislators. Legislators are included, so is the executive, but bringing community leaders, business leaders, and others to the table who are going to be here for the long haul and are going to continue to hold us accountable for long-term improvement.
That's fantastic. What is the council on Virginia's future? We will ask Virginia Governor Tim Kaine to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.